Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and welcome to the Flames of Light Show. This is Randy Goldberg, and it's great to be with you here tonight. We're going to have a special show tonight where we're focusing on learning meditation. And we're just ending up a 3 weeks of a Mercury retrograde, which is a time to go back and slow down, review, reflect, all the rewords, and meditation is one of the great tools for doing that slowing down process and giving things a second, a deeper, more conscious look at your life and thoughts and feelings and state of being. So a lot of people think that meditation is just kind of like spacing out or in meditation, actually there's always a focus. Kind of the opposite of this now. It's about bringing your mind together in one sharp, focused, one-pointed attention where you can direct the mind like a laser into the depths of your being. And as you'll see, when water is choppy, you can't would see in it. On a calm pond, you can see down to the bottom of a deep lake. And so similarly, when our mind is agitated and our thoughts are swirling, we get caught up in that storm, and the cloudy mind cannot necessarily be clear about what it's doing, and gets caught up in stress and worries and the various things that can afflict your mind. And the mental waves, if you've ever seen an EKG, when they get graphed, when you're agitated, when the mind is racing, the mental wave will be very high and line going up and down, similar to, say, if you've seen a Richter scale with an earthquake. And as you start to slow the mind down, which is what meditation is, a process of calming and relaxing and slowing the mind down, then you begin to take in more and more. You're allowed in your mind to pause, and it's in that pause when you actually can allow information in. And so the mental waves begin to straighten out, and slowly becomes a much more of a rolling curve. And one of the metaphors for God, the cosmic mind, the infinite universe, is a infinite straight line. And one of the principles of meditation is that your mind takes the qualities on of whatever it thinks about. Mind literally would take the shape in your mental plane. It will take the shape of whatever objects it's thinking about. And those imprints on the mind are there until they get released. And meditation is giving you a chance to release those imprints. And so it's like our mental trash can gets filled up, and we need to have a chance to empty that, to clear out, to get grounded, to get centered. And so since it takes on the qualities, in meditation, one takes a very expansive ideation, thinks about things that are broadening, expanding, mind expanding, elevating thoughts, and then the mind moves in that direction. And so there's many ways to meditate. And meditation is actually an experiment that you do in your inner laboratory. You're going inside and having your own personal experience. And for me to tell you what meditation is like going to a restaurant and all you get is the menu. You know, you need to taste the food. So similarly with meditation, it's about having your own personal experience. And when you experience a deep state, consciousness of your being, profound, spiritual, soul level connection. When you have those experiences, they're very rich, very deep, and they're something that other people can't take away from you. They're inner wealth that, regardless of how the circumstances of the outer world are always changing, you have that bedrock foundation to draw on. An incredible inner resource. And meditation is about awareness, about expanding your awareness. And it's an endless journey of always becoming more aware. And particularly, I love Jungian thoughts. And Carl Jung pointed out how how important shadow work is, and particularly in the second half of life, the mature spirituality is about taking the light into the unknown, the dark access recesses of our mind and being, and illuminating those so that we become aware of our own shadow qualities, the own things that we're projecting out, the things that we hate and that we repulsed by and that we're polarized against. And a mature person begins to move towards wholeness, where they can accept all the different aspects of themselves, where they can realize that they have all those different roles, all those different parts within them, and that often the things that come and are irritating us are mirrors, letting us see what it is inside us that needs to be looked at. And there's so many kinds of meditation, and again, I feel it's important to experiment and see what works for you. It'll be different for different people, but all of them will have breath as a central aspect. And there's many forms of Buddhist meditation that give very little instruction beyond pay attention to your breath, notice your breath, focus on your breathing. And as you become aware of your breath, and we're usually breathing unconsciously, when you start to consciously breathe, then you can slow it down and breathe deeper, fuller breaths, and begin to breathe from your diaphragm. So normally we're breathing very shallowly up in the upper part of our chest. And so you want to breathe from your diaphragm, diaphragmatically. And so it's like water pouring from one pitcher to another. Let the air pour down to the bottom of your lungs first, filling up the base of your lungs. And we can take a few moments to do this right now. Let yourself have a big exhale. You might want to make a sound with it. You might yawn or sigh. Just let to be a letting go kind of breath. And it's always nice to start meditations out with some big exhales and getting rid of all the stale air that might be there in your lungs. So fully exhale at the beginning and let that completely wash out. And then let yourself an inhale that starts from your diaphragm. You can place your hand on your stomach and see that your stomach is the first thing to expand as you breathe. And as you take full deep breaths, you automatically start to slow down your breath. And you're breathing in a rhythm that gets more relaxed, and you can let yourself get centered. You might want to rock around a little bit, find where your center is. You want to feel like you're having a thread pulling you from the top of your head like a puppet. So your spine is straight but relaxed. You'll notice when you slouch in a class, it's very boring. You're falling asleep. You're slumped over. If you're in an exciting movie, you're on the edge of your seat. You're sitting straight up. So when something has your rapt attention, it's natural to sit very straight. And the meditation works a lot with your nervous system, and your nervous system is centered in your spine, so it's good to straighten your spine, but same time, you want to be relaxed. So you want to sit however, this is an experiment. If you have a bad back, it's fine to be sitting in a chair, to be laying down, however you want to be relaxed and comfortable. But it's best if you can support your back sitting up. Certainly not necessarily to sit cross-legged or full lotus, or particularly if those things are uncomfortable. If you are sitting cross-legged, for example, it's nice to sit on a pillow so that you're a little bit up. And if you're sitting in a chair, the back of the chair is supporting your back. If it doesn't hurt your back, it's a little bit better to sit where you're supporting the weight of your back. But if you have any back issues or anything, it's totally fine just to lean back in a chair like that, or even laying down. The problem with laying down is it's a little bit harder to focus. It's easier to fall asleep, space out. Keeping the focus a little bit easier sitting up. And as you breathe, you take full deep breaths from the base of your lungs and then fill up the top corners of your lungs that don't usually get used. So you're taking full deep breaths. And it's nice to exhale and inhale through the nose. That's the place in many Buddhist meditations, they'll just say, witness the breath as it streams in and out of your nostrils. And there's fine nerves in your nose, and there are some breath work, rebirthing and holotropic breath and different things where you're really focusing on hyper-oxygenating your blood and going into a deep breath-induced trance. So that's a different kind of breath than normal sitting meditation. So don't want to over-focus and over-try too hard in meditation. You can end up tensing up. So there's no one way, right way. You want to be relaxed and comfortable. So whatever it is for you, be relaxed and comfortable, do that. You might have an itch, and if you're like trying to ignore itching it, then you're focusing more and putting more energy into that. So you might be better just to itch that scratch and let it go away. And don't worry about in this journey, it's a journey, not trying to do anything perfectly, just the movement towards wholeness. And so then on the layer of having your deep, extended, full breaths coming from your belly, some of the different kinds of meditations involve different kinds of visualization. You can visualize different things with your energy, and in yoga there's chakras, there's energy centers that one has along the spine, starting from the base of the spine and moving up to the sixth center is between your brows and the crown and the top of your head. These energy centers are one thing that yoga visualized. And one visualization is just pick a place in nature that you love and that you remember feeling tuned and calm and centered in nature. Nature has a natural flow. It's guided by the cosmic flow, the cosmic mind. It's, and when we're in nature, we become attuned with that flow. And seeing yourself in a forest or a lake or a beach or wherever it is, where you feel very calm and relaxed, at one with nature. Visualizing yourself there. As you meditate, your mind is always going to wander, and that's why in Sanskrit, the Sanskrit word for meditation is sadhana. It means the effort. In Buddhism, they talk about the sitting practice. Practice. Sitting. Meditation practice. So it's not like you sit down and you go into complete blissful, peaceful place. It's putting the effort to polish the mirror so it will reflect the light of the moon. You're churning milk into butter, making purified butter, clarified ghee. Just that effort of bringing your mind back to whatever focus, whether it's your visualization or your breath or mantra is another focus one can have. And so there's different tools that assist in meditation. Another great meditation is grounding meditation. And in fact, Carl Jung said that in the West, we're kind of reversed energetically to the East. The East, they need to elevate the mind towards the head, but we're already up in our head, and we need to bring the energy down into our body and be grounded. And so it's a beautiful kind of meditation to visualize yourself having a grounding cord that goes from the base of your spine into the earth. And part of your grounding cord can be roots that you can grow from the bottom of your feet or from the base of your spine. And that grounding cord can be rich roots that break through the soil and go deep, deep down into the earth, connecting you to the earth's energies. And you can take the energy of the earth, refreshing, energizing, healing, strengthening energy. You can draw that in through your roots. And you can let go down your grounding cord, down your roots, anything that doesn't serve you, any headache or energy you want to let go of, you can just send it down the grounding cord. And, you know, from the base of your spine, you can have a grounding cord that is a like an electrical cord plugging into the earth, and electrical appliances sometimes will burn out without having a grounding cord. And so similarly, often we need our grounding cord, and it could be a lightning bolt or a ray of energy, and or that tube of energy that could be different colors, and you can see having different color roots. Play with the different colors, see if you like having brown roots or white roots or red roots. And the grounding cord can be water, or be a waterfall going from the base of your spine and washing away and blocks the chakras. And that waterfall can go down into the earth and back up, and you can slowly, one chakra at a time, bring the waterfall up to your stomach, your heart, throat, or your head, and it can completely wash out your aura and your chakras, unblocking anything, and it can wash down, and you can release it all through the ground cord. And the grounding cord can be a rope or a chain, something that really solidly hooks you into the earth that helps you stay grounded, a cable. There's so many different visualizations. You can play with it and see what works for you. And the important thing is to know that you can release what you want to release down it, and take up the, run your energy with the earth's energy. Take in that reviving energy of the earth, healing energy of the earth. And just, you've done some grounding meditation. It's nice to feel your place in between heaven and earth. That's the Chinese saying of that's where human dwells, between heaven and earth. But, so when you feel yourself well grounded, then you can also open up the top of your head up to the cosmos, to the solar energies, to the universal energies, and you can feel them spiral down from the outer depths of the universe and connecting yourself to that infinite cosmic mind, cosmic consciousness. Take in that ocean of being you all spring from. And meditation is connecting to that soul place inside you and remembering why you're here and what you were born for and what your purpose is in life, and get filled up and to take this beautiful full energy into your life to carry that full cup. Meditation shouldn't be a separate thing that we meditate and then our life that we live is something different. It's, we fill up in order to bring that into our life, to share that energy. And then if you want to use a tool of a mantra, the mind always will have some object. It's always jumping from one thing to the next. And so when you have your focus, say you're focusing on the breath, then the mind will wander. And you'll think about what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow, what you're going to wear, about work and different things. And so you become aware, oh, I'm thinking about those. And you bring the mind back to focusing on your breath or your visualization or the mantra. And the mind will focus for some time and then wander again. But that's really what meditation is. As you practice, you're able to focus for little by little longer periods of time. And it's like building up a muscle. And as you can then focus for longer periods of time, you can get really absorbed and go much deeper. But there's always this effort, this sadhana that's there. And it's like cleaning a room when you first clean things up and you take everything out. Somebody walks in, the room will look dirtier than when you first started. And so similarly with meditation, stuff gets stirred up. And it's like a lot of unconscious stored material will bubble up, and there'll be times when you begin meditation, it's like, oh, it's so hard to calm the mind, and I just want to jump out the window, you know. But those could be the meditation where you really benefited a lot. And so it's like anything in life, there's ups and downs, and the movement is a wave-like motion, and there'll be times when it's easy, and there'll be times when the meditation is difficult, and it's dry, and then you'll have some really great meditations, and that will help inspire you, and so it always oscillates like that. And the most important thing is to meditate regularly, to have an ongoing, regular, daily meditation practice. It's best to meditate twice a day, in the morning to get centered, and then at the end of the day to de-stress and to revive yourself. And and it's best to meditate before eating. If you're full, you feel sleepy, all the energy has gone to your stomach, So, best time to meditate is in the morning before breakfast, in the evening before dinner. If you can't fit that in, say before dinner, then before going to bed is fine. Sometimes when you do it before going to bed, you're real sleepy and it's a little bit hard that time. But better to do it then than not at all. And the most important thing, the main reason people don't complete having a successful meditation practice is that they think that they have to meditate for 20 minutes or a half hour, and they don't have that much time, and plus it's so hard to meditate that long, and so they quit meditating. So it's super important at the very beginning that you just do it regularly. It's part of your schedule. You have your schedule where you brush your teeth and you shower and get dressed and everything. So put it in there as part of your schedule. At the beginning, just let it be for a couple minutes. 2 or 3 minutes is fine. It's a super busy day, just pause for 30 seconds. You're just taking time to pause. And if we're always on the go, if someone gives you some delicious food and you're walking down the street and you're really hurried and you could be eating it and not even be able to taste it, then so when you slow down and you pause and you take the time to really take something in, then you can really appreciate life much more fully and be present and aware to what's happening in your life. And so begin with fitting it regularly, twice a day, into your schedule. For it doesn't matter how short it is. If it's just 1 or 2 minutes, that's fine. Once you're doing it every day, regularly, twice a day, then you'll naturally start to get some benefit out of it and naturally start to meditate for a couple of minutes more. And slowly it will grow. Most people into a 20 or 30 minute practice that they do twice a day. But don't try to jump there right away at all. Just try to start out very short periods and regular. And so another tool, the mind is always hopping from one thought to the other. You can't tell the mind just to stop. But, you know, that's what happens when we're knocked unconscious. But as long as we're have a conscious mind, it's seeking for a thought or a direction. The mind is moving. It's like a river. And so we want to direct the flow of that river. And one way to do that is with the tool of a mantra. And yogis sat in caves for thousands of years and studied the effect of sound on the mind and developed different Sanskrit mantras and different sounds that help calm the mind and center the mind and elevate the mind. So a mantra has different aspects to it. It will have a meaning so that you can think about something that's elevated and expansive for the mind. And you'll have the sound quality of it. And then you're going to say it in a rhythm. And the rhythm of the mantra, you can connect with your breath. You have a natural flow going on with your breath. And so you begin to have a focus, and it can have a very big impact and make meditation much easier to use a mantra. And there's many mantras. A mantra that you can use that is a universal one that we will do a brief practice here. There's personal mantras. You can get individual mantras for your vibration. Meditation teachers can choose you. But this is one for general use that will benefit anyone. And it's three simple words: Baba Nam Kevalam, which means love is all there is. That everything is part of the one universal energy. And so it's B-A-B-A, Baba, that which is closest to your heart, Nam, the name of that, and Kevalam, K-E-V-A. Alam. And so you'll focus on the mantra. You want to repeat it with your inner voice. That's the most subtle sound, is the sound inside your mind. And it's nice to listen to chanting tapes and to do guided meditations with tapes and different things. But you want to practice where you're guiding your mind, because then you're really strengthening you're strengthening your own mind and guiding it yourself. And so you're practicing strengthening your will. So we'll focus on these three words, the Bhavanam Kevalam, and I'll put a brief bit of chanting that has the Bhavanam Kevalam. They'll be chanting this, and often in a group meditation, it's nice to get together and to help create a certain feeling and helps get the mind in a flow. And you know, when you're meditating by yourself, it's nice to sing a song or a chant, just something to transition, particularly, say, in the evening, you come from work and the rush hour, and so just to transition into a meditation space. And so for a couple minutes, we'll listen to some of that Bhavanam Kevalam chanting. So we hear the mantra for a little bit, and you can meditate with the chanting, and then I'll stop the chanting, and then we'll meditate for a few minutes and just continue with your inner voice repeating the Bhavanam Kevalam mantra. And as you say with your inner voice, Bhavanam Kevalam, remember the meaning of how we're all one, with one universal energy that we're all part of. And as the mind wanders, then just gently bring it back to focusing on the mantra. Now continue with your own inner voice, repeating the Baba Nam Kevalam, and remember the meaning of we're all one. Baba Nam Kevalam. Baba Nam Kevalam. Love is all there is. Baba Nam Kevalam. As we meditate, we want to be gentle with ourselves and try to gently bring the mind back when it wanders. As different things begin to surface, we might have some feelings, there might be some anger comes up, and the Buddhist talks about, I say hello to my friend anger, but just noticing is a big part of this journey of awareness, and welcoming, accepting, noticing, and on the path of growth, acceptance is always the first step, so it's important to not resist what's coming up, but accept it. There can be inner and outer distractions, inner distractions are the different thoughts we have in our head. The outer distractions are the phone rings and the different noises that are there. And so we can use both the inner and outer distractions as cues to remind us, oh yes, I want to come back to focusing on the mantra or focusing on your breath or the visualization, whatever focus you have, the time of your meditation. And someone who's in the queue, and so I want to see if they have a question or a comment. And I'm turning your mic on. Hello there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi there. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing good. Do you have any question or comment about the talk on meditation?
No, I'm listening in.
Uh-huh. Okay. You're in the question queue, so I just wanted to see if you might have had any questions. Okay, I'll be back. Meditation is remembering, and so one of the metaphors is that we forget who we are, and we forget who our deeper self is. That meditation is reconnecting to that true deeper part of ourselves, to our higher self, to our witnessing consciousness. Our thoughts are always changing, and our emotions are always changing, and everything in life is always changing, and there's a part that sees it. And, Eastern philosophy, the yogis talk about the I feeling. There's this feel, I am angry, I am thinking this and feeling that and wanting this. And so whatever is going on in life, there's always this I part that's the central part of our being that sees the thoughts, sees the feelings, and that witnessing part is always there, always present. And that part of our consciousness is also connected to the universal witnessing entity, the greater cosmic knowing. And one of the descriptions, meditation is when a drop of water goes into the ocean, it dissolves, and similarly, our unit mind dissolves in the cosmic consciousness, the infinite consciousness, and we can perceive being without object, pure consciousness. In that state, there's a peace and a deep knowing that we all have infinite longing within us, and the part of us that longs for the infinite, that longs for the great, gets the finite things. We can only eat so much, you can only own so much, so these finite things don't fulfill that infinite longing that we have. And meditation is a way to access the deeper treasures. And just like the gems are hidden deep in the ground, you have to dig into the depths of your being. And we're in a very extroverted culture. We're constantly, you know, our mind is always wrapped in the external, engrossing in the senses and this external world. And there's so much to explore in the inner world. And in fact, that's one of the big differences between the East and West. The world is very in and out of balance, and the East needs the science and the outer technologies of the West, and the West needs the inner technologies. They've been exploring the inner space for thousands of years, and they've come up with very powerful technologies for exploring the inner world. And the world at a particular out-of-balance place right now, where we need to come together and share the different knowledges and to learn in a more universal way. And as you meditate on a regular basis, it over time deepens and becomes easier, and you're able to focus. It's like when you dig in one hole or one place, you start to go down deeper and deeper, and so that's part of why the regular practice really helps like that. And it's good to do different things that help support this subtle journey. So surrounding yourself by influences, it's good to have some inspiring, mind-expanding book that you can read a little bit before you go to bed to remind you of what life is all about, that kind of thing. So there's the outer and the inner support that you're building, and things tend to either spiral up or spiral down, and this is creating a spiral up in your life, and you begin to see the synchronicities, you're in the flow, and start to see how things are happening for a reason, and that there's this journey of life as giving us all kinds of opportunities to grow and be of service. And as you meditate, your heart opens and you naturally want to help others. And the meditation isn't meant to be this selfish journey. It's actually a way of awakening your heart. And that increased empathy, you'll naturally try to do service and help others and make this world a better place, find out what your gifts are and share them with the world. If there's any listeners who have a question or comment, you can press 1 or type something in the chat room. And if not, I think I'll just go out with a song. At the end of the song, it goes into repeating the mantra. I want to thank you for listening to the show, and encourage you to practice. And don't let the fact that you don't have a lot of time in your schedule, even if it's just for 30 seconds, if you're doing it regularly, just a couple minutes regularly, twice a day, it will begin to expand and you'll get something out of it. And you can find more information about me. You can contact me if you have questions. I teach meditation and different, I give astrology readings, both Western and Vedic from a Jungian perspective. And some more information on my website, randygoldberg.org or astrodc.com. And welcome you to tune in next week. Every Monday I have my show. And there's great chanting CDs and music you can download at innersong.com. www.innersong.com is a great place for getting meditation music chanting.
Is this love? Is this love? Is this love? Flooding to me in a dream. Is this love? Is this love? Filling all my life with meaning. Thought that you were far away from me, but tonight I feel no distance. I see you standing in the clear sky as I touch you to reach on high. Won't you let my heart stay still? A sweetness in the near distance. Words I thought to utter now lie still, and in my mind just thoughts of you. Is this love? Is this love? Is this love? Flowing through me in a stream. Is this love? Is this love? Filling all my life with meaning. Your soft wind takes my heart by storm. I find the stillness at the center and pass through worlds I never dreamed of. I see you come and let the darkness die. I love to call you in the morning. A light that's forming in the clear sky touches my heart like a soft hand and takes my mind to reach on high. I love than you can imagine. We'll not hear the voice of reason. The joy is echoing around me, and all you've done I thought was smile. Is this love? Is this love? Is this love? Floating to me in dreams. Is this love? Is this love? Flowing through me in a dream. Is this love? Is this love? Filling all my life with me. This love, this love. Anna.